We are tonight going to open up a mystery, a giant mystery that begins in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, and ends in Revelation, the very last book in the Bible. It's going to show how true and awesome the Word of God is, because nobody could have woven it together and have done it over a 1,000-year period. How awesome our salvation is, and a mystery that has everything to do with you and your life. On the Hebrew calendar and on the calendar of believers around the world in Messiah, now is the season of the Lamb. When is the very first mention of the Lamb? When is the very first mention? The word in Hebrew for Lamb is the word Seth. Try it. If you don't know Hebrew, it's very easy, but you can just search a computer program for the word Lamb. And where will it take you? Where's the very first mention of the word Lamb? It is in Genesis 22. And you can open up or you can just listen. It's okay. It says this. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, I'm here. Here I am. Then he said, take your son now, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I will tell you. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he split wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. He saw the place from a distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there, and we will worship the Lord and return to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac and took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked together. Now this is the test of Abraham. This is the test of his life. Will you offer up even your most precious thing, the thing that God gave him? It's only a test. God would never have him do it. But in the test would be an amazingly cosmic revelation. So much in here, we cannot go into that whole realm. But we're going to focus on the word Lamb. Next verse. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, he said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? First time the word lamb is mentioned in the Bible. And then it's, where is the lamb? And Abraham answered him, and here's how it sounded in the original language. Elohim yireh, the Lord will provide. Lo, to himself, haseh, the lamb, le'olah, for the burnt offering, Bani, my son. God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide. They get to the top of the mountain, and it goes on. Then they came to the place that God had told them of. Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son on the wood. He laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham reached out with his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not reach out your hand against the boy. And don't do anything to him, for now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham looked up. He raised his eyes. He looked up, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thorns by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up as a sacrifice, a burnt offering, in place of his son. This is the very first mention in the entire scripture. And the first question is, where's the lamb? And it's about a father and a son. And it's about the lamb. It's actually, by the way, it's actually the first mention in the Bible of the word love. How did Abraham know that God was going to provide the lamb? And what exactly was he saying or thinking when he said those words? Maybe the Spirit just came on him and he just said it. And he spoke about the lamb. He said, God will provide the lamb. But the next thing that happens is God stops him. And Abraham looks and he finds a ram now, and he offers him in place of Isaac. But a ram is not a lamb. A ram, now a Bible can speak of a lamb, a baby born of a ram, and born of the lambs, born of the goats even. But a ram is not a lamb. It's the young offspring. A lamb is the young offspring. Yet it says God would provide the lamb. So the mystery is what Abraham said. He said it, but it wasn't fulfilled. It was yet to come, what Abraham said. God will provide the lamb. And this is the act. that seals the covenant of Abraham and God, the Jewish people and God. Right here, it focuses on a lamb. And further is what Moses does. Because who's writing this? Moses is writing it. And what he writes, the next verse, and Abraham named that place, so this is Moses talking about Abraham, the Lord will provide. As it said, to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. So Abraham calls the place, he doesn't just say the Lord will provide the life, he calls the place, the Lord will provide. The Bible is underlining it now, that you don't forget that Abraham said that. It's the prophecy of the Lamb. And Abraham simply said the Lord will provide, but provide what? The Lamb on the mountain. Now how did Abraham know that? Well, we don't know, it could have just been the Spirit. The lamb was to be provided for Isaac. Well, that's over now. So what's Abraham talking about? He's talking about the future. God is going to provide a lamb, and it's not about just Isaac. Now, you have probably heard the expression Jehovah Jireh, right? Well, of course, that's not really how you pronounce it. It is more like Yahweh Yireh. Now, where does it come from? It comes from here. It's the name of the mountain that Abraham called it. The Lord will provide. It's not just God will provide. It's God will provide the lamb. All from the same thing, from the answer of Abraham. And so the mountain is called, the Lord will provide what? The lamb. And Moses writes that, not just as a nice name, but God's going to do something there. Something's going to happen on what? The mountain of the Lord, he says. So it's got to be something important, because listen, Moses is writing this centuries later and it still hasn't happened. So Moses is saying something big is going to happen there that hasn't happened, that Abraham our father said didn't happen yet. It's not going to happen right now, but it's going to happen. He's talking about something that's got to be so big that God is going to provide there. Now this is just the first mention of the word lamb. And look at what's there. But let's go for the second mention. Now, if you take the Bible, you take a computer, and you type in lamb, the number two, the next mention, amazing. The first is Genesis 22. Genesis 22 is amazing. What's the second? The second is this. Now, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Speak to all the children of Israel. Say, on the 10th day of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their house, their father's house, a lamb for each house. Now, if the house is too small for a lamb, they are to take one, joined together. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. Keep it to the 14th day of the same month, then the whole congregation of Israel is to sacrifice it. So the very second mention of the word lamb in the Bible takes you to Exodus 12, Passover. Passover. So Genesis 22 is crucial. It seals the covenant of God and Abraham and Israel. Exodus 12 is equally crucial because it's going to be the birth of the Hebrew nation coming out of Egypt, the Exodus Passover. It's going to change. It's going to be the new beginning of the calendar. So notice the lamb is linked to, at every one of these key events comes the lamb. You know, there's a famous science fiction movie directed by Stanley Kubrick called 2001 Space Odyssey. Well, what happens is, at key moments, according to this science fiction, in the cosmos, this object appears to say something new. Well, the real thing is, in the Bible, is at the key moments, the lamb appears. The lamb appears, and they're all connected. Now, think about it. Isaac is saved because the lamb comes. Now, Isaac was bound. Now, what about Passover? The whole nation is now bound. It's in bondage. What happened? What releases Isaac from the binding? The sacrifice. What releases the Hebrews from their bondage? The sacrifice, the lamb. Isaac's under a sentence of death. The Hebrews also are from Pharaoh and from the 10th plague. But because without the lamb, there's death. But Isaac is saved from death by the sacrifice, and so are the Hebrews by the lamb. So it's all connected. A mystery is building. But notice something else. Genesis 22 speaks Abraham, it speaks about a lamb for what? For Isaac, one person. A lamb for a person. But in Exodus, now it's a lamb for a house. So the mystery is growing. It's getting bigger. What happens next? After the word lamb in Exodus 12, the lamb starts appearing in all the sacrifices of Israel. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. But all those sacrifices go back to Passover and go back to Abraham. But the next time that the word lamb is going to be linked to redemption, you know what it's going to be? Listen, it's this verse. It's this chapter. It's this one. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that's silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. The prophecy given by Isaiah centuries before Messiah, I mean, that alone, you know, it's God. The same prophecy that says he was despised and rejected of men. He was pierced through for our sins. He was crushed for us. He was by his wounds we are healed. He was struck down. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned his own way. But the Lord laid on him our punishment. And he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Notice the mystery building, the train of the mystery. How awesome is the Word of God? Did you know that this was awesome? Do you know that God is awesome and His Word is awesome? Notice the train, the lamb in Genesis, the lamb in Exodus, the lambs of the temple every day. And then when you get lamb to redemption again, the next time, Genesis, Exodus 12, the next time is Isaiah 53. And now, you know, now think about this too. Now think about this. The life of Isaac is saved by the sacrifice which stands in for the lamb. The life of Israel is saved by the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Now it says, we are saved by the lamb, the sacrifice of the lamb. There's a death sentence on us, but it says we're saved, we're forgiven. We're healed even. Except there's a difference this time. The lamb now is a person. The lamb is a human being. Now think about it. An animal can die for an animal. Really. But who can die for a human being? Only another. But who is spotless, who is like God, spotless. And notice the mystical words of Abraham speaking of a lamb, that God is going to provide a lamb. And then Moses writes of the Passover, that the lamb is still yet to be given. It's still to be manifest on the mountain. And now this is centuries later. And the prophet Isaiah is now speaking about the lamb. And it's about being saved from sin and judgment. The prophecy goes on. It was the Lord's will to crush him, if he'll render his life as a guilt offering. But the word for guilt offering there is the word asham. The word asham is in Leviticus. It's the name of an actual sacrifice. A sacrifice that takes away guilt is called the asham. And now, the first time it's used of a man. Note, now the Hebrew prophets are speaking of one man who will bring deliverance, redemption. Who is the one man who brings deliverance to Israel? The Messiah. But here the Messiah is called the Lamb. Now I mentioned before the prophet Daniel would give a prophecy that actually uses the word Messiah. Actually says Mashiach, Messiah. He's going to come to Jerusalem. Well, he did. And he's going to be cut off. That's the biblical way of saying he's going to be killed. For what? To make atonement, to make an end of sin. And so it all goes together. Except the one who's killed here is Messiah, and he is the Lamb. Messiah is the Lamb. But the prophecy of Isaiah goes on. It says, by oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Now Isaiah is writing again and again, he keeps saying, us, we. He died for us. We did this, but he died for this, and we're healed. The lamb dies for us, but who's the us? Who's the our here? Now, of course, you can apply it to everybody, but specifically, Isaiah is saying, he was killed for the sin of my people. Who is my people? Israel. Now, there are rabbis who try to say, well, this is really talking about the Jewish people suffering. There's no way, because it says that he suffers for Israel. My people. My people. So what does this mean? Now look at this. Genesis is a lamb for a person. Exodus is the lamb for a house. Isaiah is the lamb for a nation. And in Abraham's words, it's still in the future. It's still God will provide the lamb. This is all about God will provide the lamb. And even Isaiah, when he's speaking about it, it's ultimately something that is yet to come. Now there are, after Isaiah 53, what about the lamb? Doing a search. Well, there are a few verses just about the lamb, particularly the temple. The prophet Ezekiel speaks of the future temple of the lamb, the lambs. But the next verse in the Bible that speaks about redemption and the lamb, you know where it's going to take us to? the Gospel of John, the first chapter. The very first verse in the New Testament that speaks of the Lamb, and the only place in all the Gospels, the Gospel accounts, that speaks of the Lamb, and it has to do with another man. It says there's a man called Yohanan. There was a man, we know him as John the Baptist. A man came, John, one sent from God. His name was John, Yohanan. He came as a witness to testify of the light, and that about the light so all might believe through him. He wasn't the light, but he came to testify of the light. And again, they come to him and say, "Are you the Messiah, John? Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "I baptize you with water, but among you stands one who you don't know. It is he who comes after me, who I'm not worthy of even untying the strap of his sandal." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. He said, prepare the way for the Messiah. But the gospel reveals something about John. John was born of what house? The house of Aaron. What is the house of Aaron? The priesthood. What is the priesthood? They were the ones who dealt with the Lamb. So what did the priest do? The priest is the one who identified the Lamb, certified it kosher. This can be sacrificed. This is pure. So keep in mind that. Here is John, pure blood from his father and mother, from the priest. He's a son of Aaron, a priest of priests. The next day he saw Yeshua coming, Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How awesome! Here is the priest saying, "Here is the Lamb." As soon as he sees him, the Lamb of God, he identifies him not just as a lamb, but as the Lamb. The Lamb, not just the Lamb, but the Lamb of God. As in, God will provide himself the Lamb. This is all part of the same mystery. As in, he was led to the Lamb to the slaughter, same thing. And notice how the Lamb seems to often manifest at the beginning of something. Genesis, the beginning of the Jewish people, seals it right there. Exodus, the beginning of the redemption from Egypt. And now it's the beginning of John, the beginning of the ministry of Messiah. And it starts with, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. You know, I wasn't going to put this in here, but you know, my parents were in another country on vacation, and they're in this monastery where they were giving away the ancient pages of monks writing, their hymns, and they just tore out a page in Latin, and my parents put it up in our house, and you know what it said? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you look at the stream now. Genesis, a lamb for a person. Exodus, a lamb for a house. Isaiah, the lamb for the nation. And now, the lamb for the world. For the world. Who takes away the sin of the world. But there was more to that first mention, that prophecy of the Lamb. Abraham called the name, called it Adonai Yireh, the Lord shall provide. He named the place, and Moses said, in that mountain, the Lamb shall be provided. What is the name of that place? The place is called Moriah. The mountain is called Mount Moriah. Now, God may have already named that there before, but the word Moriah comes from the root word Yireh or Jireh, which is from Abraham saying God will provide the Lamb. The whole place is named after the Lamb coming. The same thing. He'll be, and the word Yireh, that doesn't just mean provide, it also means manifested, made visible, so you can see him. So Moriah means God, not just God will provide, but the God will manifest it. What? The Lamb will be manifested in the land of Moriah. Moriah means the provided of God. The whole place means it. And what is Moriah? Moriah is the place we know as Jerusalem. Amen. Jerusalem. The very place it says that Jerusalem is named after, God will provide the Lamb there. And so the mountain of Moriah, you know what's on top of that? The temple where all the sacrifices of the lambs were lifted up, bringing back the prophecy, reminding you of the prophecy and looking forward to the Lamb who's going to be provided, who's going to be greater than that. But the mystery is deeper still. Abraham didn't say God will provide the lambs there. He said God will provide the Lamb there. So Messiah specifically must come to Jerusalem, because that's the place the Lamb has to be visible, provided. And Daniel said that's where he's going to go. So and Isaiah said he will go as a lamb to the slaughter. He will be silent as he goes to the cross. Where did he die? He died on Golgotha, Calvary. Where's Calvary? On Mount Moriah, the place that says God will provide the Lamb. The most famous symbol of on the planet Earth is the cross, is a symbol of the Lamb. On the very place. So in the prophecy of Abraham to his son, as he says it, he identifies the place. It's going to be called, he's marking the very place it's going to happen. The very first prophecy of the Lamb actually contains the place where it's going to happen. How awesome is that? But there's more, because the second prophecy of the Lamb, or the second manifestation of it, Exodus 12, identifies the exact time of the sacrifice, on the day called Passover. So the one identifies the place, the other identifies the time. They come together in Messiah 2,000 years ago on Good Friday. So fathom that. The very first two mentions of the Lamb give you the time and place. But the Lamb appears beyond the Gospels. In the epistle, a most important truth there. In the epistles, it says this. Peter says this. Conduct yourselves in reverence during your time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishing things like silver or gold from your old way of life, futile way of life, but you were redeemed with the precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Messiah. This isn't the lamb for a nation. This isn't the lamb for a world. This is the lamb for you. He wasn't just slain for Israel. He wasn't only slain for the world. He was specifically slain for you. When Messiah died on that cross, he died specifically for you. It's like you have somebody who loves you so much that they actually gave their life for you. Imagine that. But he actually did. Sometimes we don't think about it because we think, oh, there's so many people. But if you were the only one, he still would have done it. It was just as personal for you. Just because it says that he died for you. Thus, the appearance of the Lamb, these scriptures, about you ultimately. He died personally for you. Just like he did, just like for Isaac. And when the Lamb dies for someone, that someone, you, is set free. That someone is redeemed. That someone is blessed. That someone is liberated. That someone is unbound. They can break off the chains because of the Lamb has died for you. And so that specific one is you. That means you are for real redeemed. You are for real forgiven. You are for real washed, made new. You are truly, actually free and liberated. Your binding, your bondage is for real broken if you'll receive that and live it. Your slavery is gone if you'll accept it. You are free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And bringing, and what happened when the Lamb died for the Hebrews? Not only were they set free from Egypt, but they were heading home to the Promised Land. With blessing and glory. That means you are heading home. It means you've got a Promised Land because of the Lamb. You've got a Promised Land because of the Lamb. You've got heaven coming. And your life is a life of hope because the best is yet to come. And there's a glory on your life and there's a promise on your life just like there was for Israel. That promise that Israel had, they could never be fulfilled until the Lamb came. So with your life, you had a promise on your life. God has a purpose on your life. It could never be fulfilled until the Lamb came in. The blood of Messiah also redeems your life to fulfill the purpose that God gave it. Amen. That's why when the Lamb appeared in your life, what happened? You were born again. If you're not born again, you have to be. But when the Lamb comes into life, everything becomes, it's the beginning, right? It's the power and time of new beginnings. It's springtime. Peter goes on, you were redeemed by the blood of a precious Lamb, Messiah. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Whoa. He, calling him the Lamb, was known from before the foundation of the world, but he was manifested for you in the purposes of God. From time immemorial, for the sake of you, the Lamb died. The Lamb was ready for before time, before it all began, God had it that the Son of God, that Messiah was going to die for you and redeem your life. In view of this, Peter says, live your life with reverence on earth. Live your life. Your life is precious because a precious life was given for it. More precious than you could imagine because he purchased, he gave for it. that live a life that is holy and pure and righteous and free. What does it say? He died to take you out of darkness into light, to make you a royal priesthood. In view of that blood, you can and must leave that sin. In view of that blood, you can and must leave that bondage. In view of that price, you can and must now live a life that is worthy of something that is precious. And now one more realm and revelation to take it as we bring this home, the Lamb, the mystery of the Lamb. I couldn't call this, I try to come up with new names. I couldn't call this anything but the mystery of the Lamb. And I said, Lord, let it be worship. We take this mystery now to the final realm. We began in the book of Genesis, and the mystery is so big, it begins at the beginning and it must go to the end. So the final part of the mystery, we must go to the book of Revelation. And now when we search for the word Lamb, it reveals there are more appearances of the word Lamb in the book of Revelation than any other book in the New Testament. In fact, except for the sacrifices in the book of Numbers, there are more appearances of the word Lamb in the book of Revelation than any other book in the Bible, even more than the book of Leviticus. That tells you something. The mystery of the Lamb is so big, so significant, so crucial, so colossal, it's not only past, it's not only present, it's all the way future. It's forever. What does it say? And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a Lamb standing as if it had been slain. And the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to break its seals. For you were slain and you purchased people for God with your blood from every tribe, every tongue, every people and nation. Then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels around the throne and living creatures and elders. And the numbers of them were myriads and myriads, thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Whoa! The Lamb is now glorified in the book of Revelation. In the center of everything. Revelation is good. It's like the veil is removed and you see things the way they really are. Lifted up in the center of everything, and multitudes are praising, worshiping. We only worship God. He's got to be God. And now it's the Lamb who was slain to redeem for God, people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, from the Lamb that Abraham said God will provide it for. He's talking about his son. To this now, this scene at the end of the Bible, with countless men and angels glorifying God for saving people from every tribe and tongue. And that's not all. You get to the very last book, the very end of the last book, or near the end of the Bible. Revelation 21, what does it say? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will no longer be any death or any mourning or crying or pain. For the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven judgments came and spoke with me and saying, Come here and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. This is now the end, but it's also the beginning of eternity. The first heaven, the first earth, creation gone. The cosmos, universe, first one, gone. And now a new creation, now comes the kingdom of heaven. The crown of the kingdom is the new Jerusalem, and it's called the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Heaven itself is made for the Lamb. And it says, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has lit it up. And its lamp is the Lamb. Whoa. Whoa. The throne of the Lamb. There will be no sun because the sun isn't bright enough. It's the Lamb that's going to give light. Wow. The end of the Bible is the Lamb in glory, lighting up heaven forever. So the mystery begins with a single child. A lamb for a child. Then a lamb for the house. A lamb for a nation. to a lamb for the world, now to a lamb for the universe, the cosmos, heaven, forever, eternity, God will provide the lamb. And those words are for you. What an awesome mystery. What an awesome God. What an awesome salvation. This is ultimately for you. God knew your life before you lived it. And He knew what you needed, and He knew what you would need. He knew when you'd come to Him and say, Lord, and He knew what you were going to need in your life. And what is the answer? God will provide the Lamb for you, for your life, for your salvation. Because in the end, that's what you need. In the end, it's not more money, it's not more this, but it's the Lamb. God will provide for you the Lamb. The Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith, your beloved, your best friend, your everything, your redeemer, your salvation. God will provide your Jesus. He's the Lamb. And so you have no need of sun or moon to shine on. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world, for the Lamb has become the light of your life. And so your life has a radiance that it wouldn't have because of the Lamb. And when all the multitudes of men and angels give glory and praise to the Lamb, you'll be one of them. You'll be one of them giving praise and glory to the Lamb. But don't wait until then, because for you, heaven is supposed to begin now. God wants you to live a heavenly life now. Live your life as if you're in heaven now, and a life that is worthy of the Lamb, a life that gives Him praise and honor and glory and blessing, for He is the precious Lamb, specifically and personally given for you and your life, so you could live a life, live a worthy of it. Live it for God, because He has provided for you the Lamb. Amen. Happy Good Friday. Hallelujah. 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 We praise You, Lord.